The Chiefs winning last night 42-27 over New England. Let's hear from Alex Smith, who played maybe the best game of his career last night. He was fantastic, and he talks about the great win.
You put a lot of emotion into it. Kind of opening days are always over-emotional, and then certainly when you're kicking off the whole season, you know, I think even more so. So, yeah, you put a lot into it. Certainly you get this victory, but you can't forget that it's 1-16, right? You got to keep that same mentality, you know, that same week in, week out, you know, attention to detail mentality.
Alex Smith, terrific last night, 28-35, threw for 368 yards, no interceptions, four touchdowns, and he outplayed Tom Brady last night. And if Alex Smith can play anything like that for the rest of the year, he nearly had a perfect passer rating. The Chiefs are going to be tough to deal with. Now, it helps when the defense can't get a pass rush. And what's interesting is the Patriots blitzed 10 times against Alex Smith last night, 10 times. And Smith went 8-for-10 for 179 yards and three touchdowns. So blitzing didn't work against Alex Smith and the Chiefs. They couldn't get a pass rush. They don't really have a good pass rusher, the Patriots, at least not last night. And so while there's a lot of talk, including myself on Twitter, about the Chiefs, I thought poor game plan defensively, which was the same one they had a couple years ago in the playoffs, and that's drop eight and rush three against Brady, and he had all time and all day and night to throw. On the other side, Alex Smith had a lot of time to throw, the time that he was pressured. He wasn't pressured. He just kind of felt there was pressure there, and there wasn't. Let's see. You go back to the one where he stumbled and fell down on a 3rd and 5. But Alex Smith was fantastic last night, and a lot of people are going to talk about Kareem Hunt, and that's going to overshadow Alex Smith. A lot of people are going to talk, the national media pundits, NFL experts, are going to talk about how the Patriots are maybe overrated, or they got issues, or the defense isn't very good, and how are they going to fix it? Maybe some people are already seeing Tom Brady's 40. Here we go. He's starting to decline, or Bill Belichick's lost it, or the Patriots went and got too many big-name players in the offseason and don't have any depth on their defense, and there's going to be lots of narratives. And some people are talking about this being a huge, unbelievable upset, which I'm not shocked that the Chiefs won last night. I'm surprised they won. I'm very surprised on how they won. We'll go through the numbers in a little bit. But it should not be shocking that the Chiefs won, and it shouldn't be considered an unbelievable upset. The Chiefs were 12-4 last year. It seems like people across the country don't know the Chiefs play football. They were 12-4, and they won their division a year ago. And they've been pretty good under Andy Reid, and they did wax the Patriots 3 years ago in the regular season on a Monday Night Football. So they have a bit of a track record against New England. They didn't get blown out by New England in Foxborough a couple years ago in the playoffs, although you never felt the Chiefs were going to win that game. Ended up losing by 7, 27-20. But all in all, it's the national media all wanting to build up New England. There's talk of going 16-0. Well, we can put that to rest in a hurry. And as Collinsworth said late in the broadcast, maybe it's the Chiefs that can go 16-0. Okay, not so fast. But the Patriots won't be 16-0. If the Chiefs and the Patriots tie at the end of the year with the same record, the Chiefs own the head-to-head tiebreaker for home field advantage and maybe a number one seed. So it was a huge win for the Chiefs. I think it's a statement game by the Chiefs. I don't think the Patriots need to freak out about it. And if you are going to sit here and write off the New England Patriots, you don't understand history at all. First of all, let me give you a little bit of a lesson. Well, New England has won a Super Bowl when they lost the first game of the season at Buffalo 41-0. It's either 2003 or 2004. They won the Super Bowl after losing 41-0 to Buffalo in week one. So don't write them off yet. Secondly, when the Chiefs waxed the Patriots on Monday Night Football 3 years ago at Arrowhead, 41-14, the Patriots, I think, were 2-2 at the time, and there was all this talk about Belichick can't get it turned around. Brady is declining. Even one reporter said after the game in the press conference at Kansas City, Coach Belichick, are you thinking about making a change at quarterback? Which was just, are you serious? And guess what happened that year? The Patriots won the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs, as impressive as they were, didn't even make the playoffs. So I don't want to rain on people's parade. You need to enjoy the win last night, because it doesn't happen very often that an AFC team goes into New England and not only beats them, but whips them in the fourth quarter. Chiefs outscored New England 21-0 in the fourth quarter. Patriots are up 27-21 going into the fourth quarter. Under Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, I think they said that the Patriots were 105-0 when they had the lead in the fourth quarter at home. Make it 105-1. Well, that's why so many people were picking against the Chiefs last night. Part of the reason was the numbers, the history. New England's almost unbeatable at home against AFC teams with Tom Brady at quarterback. And, you know, there really was kind of a play, like right off the bat, when Dwayne Allen, the tight end, was wide open down the near sideline, and Tom Brady overshot him. And that was almost like a microcosm of what was to come, because Brady didn't play that badly first half, but the second half he didn't play nearly as well, but he wasn't sharp like we were used to seeing Tom Brady. And it was just week one. Alex Smith looked fantastic. And you have to ask the question, and we asked Art Haynes the question of the Chiefs Radio Network on Wednesday. If you missed that interview, it's available on our Facebook page, and it's also there, Sports Ticket Podcast, kdcountry94.com. And I asked Art, I said, do you think Alex Smith, he probably had his best preseason of his career, do you think Pat Mahomes being on the team and playing well behind him in the preseason is making Alex Smith better? It's pushing Alex Smith. Because there are a few Chiefs fans before last night, and maybe even still today, saying, well, I still would like to see Mahomes be the quarterback for the Chiefs instead of Smith. I don't know how you can say that after last night's performance, but whatever the case may be. And Art Haynes said, absolutely, it's made him better. Competition sometimes can light a fire. And I'm not saying Alex Smith didn't have a fire to him last year, but he knows, Alex Smith knows, that if he wants to make his $17 million or whatever it is next year, okay, the Chiefs could cut him. But if Alex Smith plays the best football of his career this year, and if the Chiefs do very well and go deep in the playoffs, who in their right mind would let Alex Smith go and release him for next year? Because you can still wait on Mahomes and let him hold a clipboard for 2 years and not one. Aaron Rodgers held it for 3 years. He turned out okay. So I think this is a great example of Alex Smith is motivated. He's extremely focused. And it helps when you don't have to deal with guys in your grill. There wasn't much of a pass rush from New England. He has speed with Hill. He has Hunt, which most people didn't know much about. And we didn't see a lot of Hunt in the preseason either. Spencer Ware who? Spencer Ware who? Yeah, I figured the Chiefs would be okay from that standpoint. They didn't get a lot from special teams last night. But they've got the speed. Kelsey is the fastest tight end probably in football. You've got Hill, tremendous speed, and now you got Hunt, who's really good at breaking tackles, which was one of the strengths he had back in college at Toledo. And he was a third-round draft pick, believe it or not. The Chiefs got him in the third round. There's another guy that they got in the third round, I remember, Jamal Charles. He turned out to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt doesn't have that speed, but he can catch the ball in the backfield. He never fumbled in college, and then the first play of his career in the NFL, he fumbles last night. But you go through the numbers. The Chiefs didn't force a single turnover. They had the lost fumble by Hunt, minus one in the turnover category. Didn't have a pass rush at all until the very end when New England was down 15 and had the pass, when Houston got a couple of sacks. The Chiefs rushed three. I thought they should have blitzed more. They didn't. Got away with it. Penalties. The Chiefs had 15 penalties for 139 yards. Travis Kelce had a dumb penalty. There was a holding penalty on the Chiefs early in the second half, on the first drive of the second half, that ended up costing them on that drive because the Chiefs had a chance to score at the end of the first half, which they did, and had a chance to get the ball second half and score right away, march it down the field. And that holding penalty on Witzman was a killer. And then they had second and one after Kelce runs for nine. Kelce's penalty was a killer. And I don't want to hear the, oh, you know, I saw it too. Trust me, I saw it. I saw as soon as it happened, the guy was pushing his helmet into the ground when Kelce was on the ground. I saw a lot of people on social media, you know, condoning it. Well, you know, Kelce, he was getting his head put into the turf. Yes, I know. I understand. He's emotional. He reacted. Did you not see the clip of Travis Kelce in the pregame interview with Mike Tirico? I'm a leader now. I'm not going to make these mistakes. I'm mature. And because I was named captain of the offense for the playoff game against Pittsburgh, that's all it took for me to understand I'm a leader in this team. I can't be doing that. You can't be doing that, okay? I saw people making excuses to Travis Kelce. That's a fact. The guy was pushing his helmet into the ground. It was an unsportsmanlike, yes. Who do they usually catch? The guy in retaliation. Mm-hmm. And the way Kelce did it was made it even worse. Official saw it, shoving the ball right, and you know what? Guy's groin area. Okay, that was easier for the official to see. That's one of those situations where Kelce's got to reel it in because those penalties will come back and haunt you. Somehow they didn't last night. 15 penalties, 139 yards, a couple of pass interference penalties that were big, and yet they got it done. The biggest part of the game to me happened in the first quarter. Kareem Hunt fumbles. Patriots are already up 7-0. They march right down the field on their first drive, and you're thinking Chiefs are going to get blown out. And then Gronkowski catches pass for a touchdown. It's 14-0. Oh, hold on, hold on. Yeah, the ball hit the turf. Not a clean catch. Dee Ford was offsides. So they replay the down, move him 5 yards closer. Third and six, Patriots pick up five. Fourth and one, I knew the Patriots were going to go for it. And why wouldn't they? They were marching it right down the field. I don't know why they didn't run a quarterback sneak with Tom Brady, which has been very successful in his career. Said they run the ball with the new guy, Galissi, or whatever his name is, from Buffalo. He gets stuffed, and the Chiefs make a huge stop. But not only did the Chiefs make a huge stop and bail out Kareem Hunt, who was distraught on the sideline after the fumble on his first NFL carry, but then they went 90 yards in 12 plays to score a touchdown, and then it was game on. I mean, it could have easily been 14-0 Patriots, and this thing gets out of hand in a hurry and snowballs, and the Patriot fans are into it. And even though the Chiefs are down 17-7, huge drive right before half going 90 yards again, capping it off with a touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt, 17-14. Then they're up 21-17. Patriots score 10 unanswered, 27-21. And now I'm thinking, that's kind of what I thought. Brady's going to turn it on. Patriots are going to win. And they hit the big pass play, as you heard from Mitch Holthus, to Kareem Hunt. That was a huge play, 28-27. And the Chiefs got it done and dominated the fourth quarter. So it's exactly what we had said yesterday. The keys is to have a lot of penalties. Don't force any turnovers. Don't get a pass rush. It's exactly how we thought. Let Alex Smith heave it down the field a lot. It went exactly what we thought, just like every other national expert nailed it on the head. It wasn't that the Chiefs won that is surprising or shocking to me. It's the way they won. It's the way they won. And Kareem Hunt, at least for one night, is a star. And Alex Smith, quarterback of the Chiefs, says that Kareem Hunt carried this team.
We were going as Kareem was going. You know, he was really a big chunk of the offense tonight. You know, for a young guy that we put a lot on him. In all facets of the game plan tonight, and he was able to handle it. So certainly hats off to him in both those areas, not just physically, but, I mean, he was able to handle the game plan. It's a credit to him.
Could have heard the game last night on Z96.3 of the Lake, the home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas, and Danny Weliniak in the locker room had a chance to catch up with Kareem Hunt, the star of the game. Some people didn't know who Kareem Hunt was, but they do now. Third-round draft pick out of Toledo.
You know, first of all, it wasn't the way I wanted to start off, so I knew I had to make plays and knew we had to score in the red zone. So every time I got the opportunity to make a play, I had to make it. So pretty much I'm just excited that, you know, I was able to help contribute to a huge win for the guys, and we just got to keep it going.
What goes through your mind as you obviously do something at the beginning with the fumble, your first carry, but then you're able to show resiliency and come back and have the performance that you did? How do you rebound from that?
You know, I pretty much just had to take it play by play, you know, just forget about it, you know, throw it out the window like it never happened. And I just had to fight through it. Honestly, it wasn't the way. I don't remember the last time I fumbled, and it really hurt me. So I knew I had to use it as another drive, you know, to keep going.
I'm going to have you take me through that really long touchdown pass where Alex hit you in stride on the go. He hit the sideline, probably more excited than you were. Take me through that. How did you get open, and how did that transpire?
You know, I was just honestly running. I had to beat the guy with speed. Alex made a beautiful pass, and I was like, I can't drop this. And I just knew, you know, we had to go get points. By that point, we were down. I knew we had to get points 7 on the board, so I just was running my fastest and hardest.
And how does this feel, your NFL debut, to do something like this, to catch the eye of the nation?
Just got to keep it going now. You know, anybody can do something once. I just want to keep it going, you know, hopefully make a big run with this team and, you know, get the, you know, end of the prize, the GOAT.
Kareem Hunt last night was fantastic. He had the most yards from scrimmage of any NFL player in the history of the National Football League in his debut. 246 yards total. Ran for, 148, had 98 yards receiving, something like that. 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdown receptions, touchdown run. He was fantastic last night, and a lot of people are going to talk about how good he was. I think the offensive line needs to get some credit. I thought the offensive line early in the game struggled a little bit, but then got it going. And they did keep everybody away from Alex Smith for the most part. And the few times Alex Smith had some issues, I think it was Alex Smith jumping the gun a little bit in the pocket. So you got to give the offensive line credit. I got a new guy at left guard in Witzman who had a couple of penalties but overcame that. Special teams was thought to be a big advantage for the Chiefs. Really didn't come to fruition last night. And then the Chiefs' defense. I mean, we've got to talk about that. I mean, for crying out loud, they gave up 211 yards through the first quarter and a half. Didn't look good. But they bent a lot. But in the key situations, they did not break. 2 fourth down and ones for New England, and both Of those fourth and ones, the Chiefs stopped him. And the second one was a terrific play made by Justin Houston. Ramak Wilson also did a nice job of filling the hole. And the Chiefs are able to get him stopped not once but twice on fourth and one. And to me, that's a big part and maybe a big difference in this ball game, because New England passes on a field goal early in the game, which I still thought was right call to go for it because the way they were marching it down. But it was a little bit disrespectful to the Chiefs' defense. If you're a Chiefs' defense, you got to say, oh, they just think they can run it down our throat and they're just going to go score again. Well, we'll show them. And the Chiefs did. Tom Brady, quarterback of the Patriots, talks about the Chiefs' fourth down stops on D.
I think it's just better execution. I mean, we just, you know, situational football is always important to us, and short yardage and a lot of things that we need to do a better job of. So it was pretty just a very poor effort, and we're going to have to do a lot better.
I didn't understand the play calling. Quarterback sneak with Brady is something they've done a lot. They did not do that on either occasion. So I think the Chiefs got a break from that standpoint, questionable play calling. But you have to give the Chiefs credit for coming up with the stops on fourth down and one, not once, but twice. Now let's hear from Andy Reid before we wrap up our analysis of the Chiefs and look ahead to the NFL schedule for this weekend. Andy Reid after the game on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Yeah, well, I mean, the coaches did a phenomenal job, and we did. I mean, you know, we always look back. You look back, it's 1 out of 16, so I'm proud of the way the guys played. You enjoy every win. It's a tough place to play and against a phenomenal coach and a phenomenal football team. So when it's all said and done, you know, they're going to be a good football team. I mean, that's what it is. But I'm proud of our guys, proud of the job that they did.
First play from scrimmage, your rookie running back gets you in a little bit of a hole, but, man, did he bounce back. How did you settle him down?
Well, you just give him the ball again. That normally settles running backs down. He's a talented kid, and he runs hard, and he was drying hard, and his juices were going. But really, when it was all said and done, it wasn't too big for him, and this is a pretty big stage here. So he regained his composure and got back in. So.
Kareem Hunt, the first of three men to debut with 150 yards from scrimmage, two TDs. The other two, Anquan Boldin with the Cardinals in 2003, Lewis Lipp with the Steelers in 84. So, wow, incredible job. Talk about the grit of this team and the way they didn't stay down. They got back up again.
Yeah, well, that's been the MO of the Chiefs. They're that way. The guys here, that core group of guys, are gritty players, and they showed that tonight. They had every opportunity to fold, and we didn't do that. They rallied, and you saw offensive guys cheering up defensive guys cheering up offensive guys, special teams. I mean, everybody was into the game.
You had such a patient game call, in my opinion. 2013 through 2016, the Patriots allowed 0 90-plus yards drives. You had three tonight. Chili tells me that is the most yards scored on a Belichick defense ever.
I don't know. I know he's a Hall of Fame coach. I have a ton of respect for him, and he's a good friend. So we were able to do a good job tonight. I'm sure he'll use that as a rallying cry for his guys. He's got a good football team.
Your defense had a couple of massive fourth down stands. Talk about them.
Yeah, I was proud of them, man. I mean, those were tough ones right there. Let alone one that we were able to get two of them, and that takes a lot of, like you said, a lot of grit, Dan.
Smith seemed to just be in rhythm with his receivers, 28 of 35, 360-plus yards. He's only the second guy to throw 275-plus yard touchdowns. The other was Lynn Dawson in 68. Alex just seemed on fire.
That's pretty good company.
Yes.
Lynn Dawson's one of my favorite guys, Hall of Famer, great human being, and Alex falls right into that line. So he's a phenomenal human being. Nobody works harder than him. He's taken this young group of receivers and really rallied them around him and done a nice job with him. So I'm proud of him and the job that he's done.
You guys worked so hard in camp on the two-minute drill, the four-minute clock. Do you feel like that paid dividend tonight?
Well, last time we were up here, we didn't do too good in the 2 minutes. So it was great to have that drive before half and then be able to come out with the ball, which helped. We didn't do as well as I wanted to do with it. But that's always good to back-to-back those things.
Eric Berrick had to leave the game on the cart. How's he doing?
He's not doing too good. We'll see. He's going to have an MRI and all that, but it looks like it's his Achilles, and we'll just see how exactly what it is when they get in there and take a peek at it.
And that's the thing. The Chiefs won, but they did lose at the same time, and you just heard Andy Reid say it. It looks like Eric Berry, who they just gave $20 million signing bonus to, and this is why you are scared to give players so much money, is that they can have a career-ending injury or just simply a season-ending injury. And Eric Berry, a few years back, early in his career, if you remember, it was the year after the Chiefs went 10-6 and made the playoffs and lost to Baltimore. And they had a good team coming back, at least on paper. And Eric Berry tore up his knee, very first game of the year against Buffalo. And then there was another Chiefs player that lost. They lost
Charles,
next week.
The next?
No, it was Detroit. They had another player in between that.
Oh, okay.
But Charles then got hurt on the sidelines in Detroit. So they lost three. I can't remember who the one was, but it went Berry, and there was another guy, and I might have been a defensive player, and then it went Charles. And I just remember thinking this team's jinxed. I mean, because the year before, when they went 10-6, they didn't have any key injuries at all. And then within the first 3 weeks, they had lost three key players. And that year also is when Castle ended up having an injury, and he missed almost like 8 games or something like that. So it was now Berry, once again, first week of the season, probably done. And you could just tell non-contact injury. We've seen Derrick Johnson have it twice. I saw Mike DeVito have it in a game against Tennessee to start the season. So did Derrick Johnson. It's weird, but the three of the four Achilles injuries the Chiefs have suffered with key players have been in week one. Against Tennessee a few years ago, DeVito and Johnson both ruptured their Achilles. Johnson did late last season, and he's come back. I don't know how long he'll be able to go before he blows it out again. You worry. And then, of course, you got Eric Berry blowing out his Achilles. At least it appears that way. And he was resigned on the turf. He looked just like Derrick Johnson did a couple years ago in week one of Arrowhead. He knew right away that he's probably done. And Andy Reid's not even halfway optimistic, as you could tell there.
Yeah.
So it's a big loss, although I will say, if there's an area of strength and depth, the Chiefs do have a lot of depth at safety. Parker can play it. Sorensen can play it. Would they love to have Eric Berry healthy for the whole year? Oh, absolutely, obviously. And he played very well against Gronkowski, who disappeared last night. Main reason was because of Eric Berry. Chiefs caught a couple breaks last night. One, Amendola had a concussion, and they don't have Edelman, so that prevented the Patriots were on the same page. Brady with his receivers. He's got a couple new receivers that he's trying to work with last night. So injuries were a part of it, but Tyreek Hill missed a key drive, and the Chiefs still went down the field and scored. The Chiefs last night put up 42 points. That's the most ever against a Patriots team led by Bill Belichick. The Chiefs put up 537 offensive yards. Tom Brady was just 16 of 36 for 267. Alex Smith, 28 of 35. 4 touchdowns, passer rating of 148.6, just shy of being perfect. Chiefs averaged 6.9 yards per carry, the Patriots 3.5. And the Chiefs had 3 drives of at least 90 yards on the night, which is unheard of. All of last year, the Chiefs had 1 drive of 90 yards or more. They tripled that in one game in Foxborough against New England, who, yes, lost Dont'a Hightower, key defensive player to their team. He went out. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs overcame a lot. First, a road win is impressive. Secondly, all the penalties. Third, you were minus in the turnover category. Four, your defense didn't get any pressure on Tom Brady until the final 4 or 5 minutes of the game when it was pretty much decided. I mean, and you got a rookie that ends up having an unbelievable game in Kareem Hunt. You have a quarterback that's been much maligned by the Kansas City faithful. He was absolutely fantastic, maybe the best game of his career. And the Chiefs win. So here's the question. Are the Chiefs a Super Bowl contender? And I would say that before this game last night, they have to prove it. They have to win a game like that to at least put themselves in that conversation for me. And I think nationally it's the same way. I saw one sports TV talk show host rank his top 10 teams. He had the Chiefs not in the top 10, which was like, do you not know what they did last year? They have pretty much everybody back. Jeremy Maclin wasn't the key point of the offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the reason you're downgrading the Chiefs, I mean, Andy Reid's won, has made the playoffs the last 3 years. He has winning records every year he's been to Kansas City. How do you not put the Chiefs in the top 10? I think that person may revise what they're doing right now. But here's the thing. A lot of people are going to have the knee-jerk reaction. Chiefs fans are going to say what? Well, we're going to the Super Bowl. Well, we are a Super Bowl contender. We beat New England in New England. People that are going to knock the Chiefs are going to say, well, New England had a lot of injuries last night. New England, it was first game of the year. They don't have as much depth. They weren't healthy. And don't worry, the Patriots at the end of the year are still going to be the number one seed, and the Chiefs still got to go win in Foxborough when it really counts in the playoffs. Patriots didn't need to win that game. The Chiefs, it was more important to them. They played like it. Tom Brady even said after the game he thought there was somewhat of a lack of urgency from his team, which is calling out his teammates. And he's a leader. He has the right to do that. So, you know, how much should be made of this win? I think Chiefs Kingdom is ecstatic and giddy with enjoyment, but you did lose an all-pro safety in Eric Berry. Your defense did give up a lot of yards. Your defense did give up 27 points through the first three quarters. Now they came through in the fourth. I mean, special teams didn't look that good. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. The Chiefs did a lot of great things last night. There's no question. The offense, after what they did last year and then last night, finishing drives, going on 90-yard drives, down 7-0 scoring, before halftime, not settling for a field goal in the red zone, getting a touchdown to make it 17-14, getting down by six and not blinking an eye and getting the lead right back. And then when it was 28-27, they didn't settle for a field goal. They got a touchdown to make it 35-27. I mean, they went for the kill, something they did not do 2 years ago in the playoffs. They didn't play aggressive. They were timid on defense, which to me last night they were kind of timid, especially in the first half when Brady picked them apart and had all day to throw. But offensively, they're aggressive. They threw the ball deep down the field, but they do have Tyreek Hill. They did not have him 2 years ago. They have Kareem Hunt. They did not have Jamaal Charles or Kareem Hunt 2 years ago in New England. So part of it is personnel. The fastest guy the Chiefs had in New England a couple years ago in the divisional round of the playoffs was Jeremy Maclin. And he was a bit of a declining player. Yeah, yeah. The Chiefs, they have Hill. You know, Kelsey did play in that game, and he disappeared in that game. But they got Hill, and they've got Hunt. And the other thing, too, is New England didn't know how to game plan for Hunt because they hadn't seen much on tape. New England and the Chiefs, if they ever rematch in the playoffs, I think it'll be a much different game. One, the Patriots tend to bounce back from these tough losses early in the season. I already told you 1 year they lost 41-0. First week of the year, won the Super Bowl. And then week four, they lost to the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, 41-14, and said they're moving on to Cincinnati and won the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs didn't make it. Remember, the Chiefs just a couple years ago started 1-5, and Jamaal Charles got hurt in the Bears game, out for the rest of the season, and there was talk of how the Chiefs are going to replace him. Spencer Ware, Ja'Kendrick West, who are these guys? All the Chiefs did was win 10 in a row, then win a playoff game. So I just want everybody to understand, enjoy the win. It was fantastic, and you can enjoy it all the way up till next Sunday when you're at home against the Eagles. But if the Chiefs turn around and lose to the Eagles, what did it gain you? Now you got some respect from the national media, and at least from the people who don't want to make excuses for the Patriots and give the Chiefs their credit and their due. One game does not make a season. One game doesn't mean you're Super Bowl champs. One game doesn't mean you're even going to make the playoffs. There was 1 year where the Broncos started 6-0 and didn't make the playoffs. They finished 8-8. Mm-hmm. All right? We have seen teams, the Seahawks a few years ago started, I think, 3-3, ended up winning the Super Bowl or making the Super Bowl. So we saw the Packers last year that were 4-6, and people wrote them off, and Aaron Rodgers said at a press conference after they lost, he said, "We have six games to go. We're going to run the table. We need to run the table." Aaron Rodgers backed up his words. They won 6 in a row, went 10-6, went into Dallas, beat 13-3 Dallas in the playoffs last year, then lost to Atlanta. You just can't jump to conclusions. And here's the ultimate wild card to it all, is what we saw late last night. Injuries. I mean, if Alex Smith gets hurt, will Patrick Mahomes lead this team to the Super Bowl? Maybe he can. I don't know. I wouldn't feel great about that. If Kareem Hunt gets hurt, you going to feel good about Ja'Kendrick West after they let C.J. Spiller, they released him again this week? If Marcus Peters gets hurt, are you feeling good about your secondary? Because they picked on Gaines quite a bit last night. Derek Johnson goes down. How you feeling there? Justin Houston gets nicked up again. Now, if Justin Houston is 100%, as he looked like late in the game last night, that changes the defense. But Dee Ford didn't do much last night. So you got to rely on Houston to get a pass rush, it appears. The run defense was okay, but the Patriots don't try to run the ball a lot. So that's not a major deal. The Chiefs will get tested in future games to see if their run defense is really legit. But injuries happen all the time in this league. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So at the end of the year, the Chiefs could be 10-6 and a wild card team. And we'll look back and go, wow, it was a long time ago when the Chiefs spanked New England in the fourth quarter in Foxborough. And now New England's the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and they go 13-3. It's just way too early to jump to conclusions. But would you rather be 1-0 and win in New England and make a statement? Or would you rather get waxed by New England and be 0-1? Well, of course, you'll take the former.
Yeah, I mean, you don't apologize for coming out here and getting that big win in week one over the Patriots. But again, you're right. You got to Like I was telling you when that interview was playing with Andy, when we were talking during that time, you know, I think it helps a little bit that you have this 10-day layoff for these players maybe to forget about what happened in week one, because it's been so long since it happened that they can focus. And I don't think that they won't be focused on Philadelphia. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, that can always creep into in the back of any player's head at any point in time, you know, thinking you're better than you actually are after you pick up a big win like that at Foxborough to start out the season. It can be dangerous because of what I just said. You think you're better than what your team really is at this point of the season.
You know, the press clippings.
Still week one of the year. You know, the Patriots, like you say, probably aren't where they want to be at this point in time. So you just take it with a grain of salt. You enjoy it. And then you move on to week two because you've got 15 more of these to come.
And if you do read your press clippings too much and you think you're really good and you think you can just show up at Arrowhead and win because of the home field advantage against Philadelphia, you're probably going to lose. And you look at what the Chiefs did. I love what they did last night. Is they're aggressive offensively, and they kept pushing the ball down the field. They mixed up the checkdowns, they went over the middle, and then they ran it and stretched it deep. I liked the play calling last night. But will the Chiefs be the same way? Because they knew they had to do that against New England, Tom Brady. We got to score points. But are they going to do that against Philadelphia? Like, remember last year, a Tampa Bay at home, got the early lead, shut her down, thinking, well, you know, we're just going to win this game. We're at home. We're at Arrowhead. Same thing against Tennessee. And one interception by Alex Smith in the end zone in each of those games cost them, but they had dialed down the offense, and Andy Reid became conservative. And it cost them two games and nearly cost them the AFC Western Division. To me, if Alex Smith obviously can play like he did last night, but it's easier when nobody gets a pass rush on you. If Andy Reid feels like Alex Smith is playing the best football of his career, then you need to trust him to push the ball down the field more often. But regardless of the opponents, stay aggressive, because I can see the Chiefs. I can easily see this. Philadelphia comes to town 10 days from now. Next Sunday, Chiefs are 1-0. Eagles might be 1-0, 0-1, whatever the case may be. Doug Peterson, former assistant or Andy Reid with the Chiefs, he'll know what Andy likes to do. He has a familiarity with the system. And the Chiefs get an early lead, and then they become conservative, thinking, well, the Eagles' offense isn't Tom Brady, and we can go ahead and win a 20-17 game. And that's where I could see it happening. I hope it doesn't. I want Andy Reid to stay aggressive. You know, the Patriots, they stay aggressive even when they're ahead by two touchdowns. Yeah. And I want to see the Chiefs stay aggressive. Will you throw a pick from time to time? Yeah, it's going to happen. But when you have weapons like Hill and Hunt and Kelsey, you've got to take some chances down the field. And last night, Alex Smith had time, made great throws, and most quarterbacks, given that much time, are going to make a lot of great throws. I don't want to take anything away from Alex Smith, but he did have all day to throw for the most part. What's he going to do against a good pass rush? What's that offensive line going to do against a good pass rush? And then, secondly, is Andy Reid still going to be, because Alex Smith didn't throw that early interception in the first half like he does some games, did he?
No.
So there's no reason to curtail it. But if he throws an early pick last night, the play calling, I bet you, is different the rest of the game. We saw it every game last year.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I think, happens against Philadelphia. He throws a pick in the end zone. It's going to be, oh, okay, we got to be a little bit careful. Let's run Hunt a lot. Let's do the check down. And then Alex will be a little bit more conservative. Oh, I don't want to make a second mistake in the game. And there were times last night, there were some guys open down the field. Alex Smith, check down. He still has that in his DNA. And Tyreek Hill was open by 20 yards, and Alex laid it out there perfectly. The throw to Hunt was one of the best passes I've seen Alex Smith ever make. That was perfect. It wasn't horrible coverage at all. But it is one game. It's great to be excited. But this game doesn't mean a lot if the Chiefs turn around and lose to Philadelphia in 10 days at home.
No.
Well, I think the Chiefs should stay aggressive. The question is, like you said, I don't know if they will, because they showed last night that they can go on the road, one of the toughest places to play in the National Football League, and take it from an offensive standpoint to the defending Super Bowl champions, who are the odds-on favorite at this point to repeat. If they can do that against New England on the road, why shouldn't they be able to do that against anybody else? And I realize there's different games, different scenarios. You're going to have a different game plan based on the strengths and weaknesses of the team you're facing. But based on what I saw last night, I don't see any reason why anybody in the Chiefs organization should feel a need to dial it back.
I agree with you, but that's what most Chiefs fans are going to say, because, well, one, it's New England, and you did that against New England So you should be able to do that against everybody, which means if you should do that against everybody, you should end up being 16-0. And we know that's just not realistic. It's not realistic to expect Andy Reid to be super aggressive every game the rest of the year. We know Andy Reid's tendencies, and I'm telling you, it's based on the opponent. You know going to New England that 27 points is not going to be enough to win. You know that going in. So what do? You change your game plan. Like Andy Reid has had games where he's gone for it 4th-and-1 at the 45-yard line against teams that have really good offenses. But does he do that against a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home? No. He plays super conservative and he punts and plays field position. He caters to the opponent. And that's what I'm saying. I agree with you, Chad. And that's what I was just saying before you were talking about that. Mm-hmm. They need to stay aggressive and keep doing those types of things. But it's easier to be aggressive when the other team can't rush your quarterback. I mean, Philadelphia is probably going to get more pressure against the Chiefs the next game than New England came close. New England doesn't have an edge pass rusher. They lost their linebacker in the third quarter. Alex Smith had all day to throw. When he gets hit or gets pressured and the offensive line struggles, what do you think Andy Reid's going to do? He's not going to be super aggressive. He's going to dial it back, which most coaches will. It's based on the opponent. So when you get caught up in this, well, they did it against New England, they should do it against everybody. Well, that's easy to say. Yeah, technically they should be able to do it against anybody. But I would argue, do you think New England's got the best defense in the National Football League after watching last night?
They haven't for a while.
No.
They're the best scoring defense last year. Yeah, I mean, but the only time you've been really like New England defense, and that's the focus, it was early.
That's how he won the first Super Bowl. Brady was more of a game manager. But last year they did have the best scoring defense in the league, which ultimately that's how you should be ranked as a defense anyway.
Yeah.
And so they did have the best defense, but last night, they get these high-profile, get the corner Gilmore they signed. You got Hightower re-signed. They feel good about their defense, and they did have some injuries during the game, but defensively, they're not anywhere close to where they probably will end up. I bet you New England's going to be much better by the end of the year defensively because Belichick is such a great coach that they're going to make adjustments. The great coaches in every sport make adjustments. Andy Reid, when they got smoked by Pittsburgh last year and everybody was ready to jump off a cliff because of one game, it was like, relax. It's one game. It's on the road. You're going to lay an egg from time to time. And what did the Chiefs do? They won their next game.
Yeah.
And because there's a sense of urgency. It was a wake-up call for the players. I think New England walked in this game last night. They read all their press clippings. They got all these additions to their offense and defense. We won the Super Bowl. We got the banner. We got the trophy. We're getting our Super Bowl rings. Chiefs are 9-point underdogs. We beat them in the playoffs a couple years ago. We're just going to win. I mean, everybody knows we're going to win. And I think Tom Brady hit the nail on the head. There was no urgency. Mm. The Chiefs wanted that game, I think, more. And quite honestly, I think they needed it more for their psyche to prove that they are a contender. Because if they go into England and get smoked, right away they're going to go like, oh, yeah, we're the same old Chiefs. I don't think we're not as good as New England. But they felt going that game that they were being disrespected. They play with a chip on their shoulder, and they were relishing the opportunity. People close to the Chiefs will tell you they were relishing the opportunity to play New England in a primetime game on Thursday to try to make a statement. And they absolutely did. But to expect them to play like that every game the rest of the year, that's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, Andy Reid's aggressiveness is based on what you said about who they're playing. Right. But also, too, it's not just about who they're playing. It's about the game situation, too.
And how Alex Smith
What happens if the Chiefs are up 17-7 instead of the Patriots? Do they have the same aggressiveness? Are they playing the same way the whole game? I don't think they are.
I doubt it. I understand
they're still playing the Patriots.
If they did, it would be against New England, but not against other teams.
Yeah, I understand they're still playing the Patriots, and they would still, as you said, need more than 27 points to win.
Right.
But if they're up 17-7 in that game in the second quarter, they're not playing the way they did last night. Alex Smith's not going for an almost perfect quarterback rating and throwing as many for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. All these numbers that Smith had, and the Kareem Hunt might have similar numbers, but he's not getting that deep pass, probably giving him the ball more in the running game, I think, if it's 17-7 instead of being down 17-7. Right. Now you're in a situation where I don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. If I want to win this game, I'm at New England. I'm down 17-7, almost down 14-0 to start this game, and now I'm down by 10 in the second quarter, and I have a chance here to score and then get the ball to start the second half. It all changes as far as your approach to what you're doing. If it's 17-7 and I have the ball at the end of the second half and I'm getting the ball to start the second half, at the end of the half and then starting the second half, if it's 17-7, you're in the lead for the Chiefs. That aggressiveness isn't there. They're thinking, hey, let's run this clock out.
We'll get the ball to start the second.
Maybe get a, if we can get down there, get a field goal, make it 20-7, we're sitting good because we get the ball to start the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different kind of mentality from Andy Reid every game, because that's what, I mean, you know, if they're down early to the Buccaneers last year and the Titans, they're probably not playing that way.
Well, exactly.
But they take that early lead, and that's why Chiefs fans need to be reserved and understand that Alex Smith's not going to have this kind of game every week, because they're probably going to get some early leads.
You don't fear
You Jameis, wish that they would do it.
You don't fear Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota as much as Tom Brady.
Especially
and
when
then
you're
when
at
you're at home.
Yeah.
So then you're like, listen, if we score 20 points, that should be enough to win. We're already at 17-3 early in the game. So now we just got to make sure our offense manages the clock and doesn't throw a pick in the red zone, which Smith did both those games, and then they completely shut down the offense. And we can't afford, you know, to take a risky pass or do an end around or whatever it might be, because we're worried about a pick six or a fumble recovery going the other way, which to me is thinking negatively. You got to play to win the game, as Herm would say. And that's something that I agree with Chad, that Andy Reid's got to keep the foot down and be aggressive almost all the time. I mean, granted, you have a big lead in the second half or fourth quarter, you don't need to be super aggressive. But if you're up 17-7 the second quarter, and the Chiefs had multiple games last year where they were up 7-10 points, especially at home, and they just took the foot off the gas completely, especially after one mistake. If Alex Smith wasn't perfect and made one mistake, oh my God, we just like cut the playbook in half. You've got too many weapons to do that this year. If Hunt is legitimately that good as he was last night, you just cannot play conservative. You got to go for it. I agree with Chad. You got to be aggressive, but he's going to adjust based on the opponent.
Well, but another thing about it is, in the whole scheme of things, when you're talking about all things football, from my perspective, I keep hearing people say how the Chiefs were super aggressive. They were super aggressive on offense. They really weren't super aggressive in the whole scheme of things. They were just more aggressive than they normally are.
Right.
You know, which seemed super aggressive to Chiefs fans that watched them play conservative clock management style football as the time goes on. But they showed that they can have success when they are more aggressive offensively. Alex Smith had the first 4-touchdown pass night of his career last night, only the fifth time he's been over 300 yards passing in a game in his career, and his completion percentage was over 80%, again, against the odds-on Super Bowl favorite. And so why would you not have confidence at this point enough to stay in that more aggressive than usual mode when you're playing against other teams in the future? Because I think a lot of teams make a mistake, and it's not just Kansas City that tends to get a lead and then try to coast and play not to lose the game instead of playing to win the game.
I don't think the Chiefs are super aggressive. I agree with you. It's the way the Chiefs know, fans know their team.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the Chiefs took a shot down the field to a Tyreek Hill was open by 20 yards, which was a busted coverage, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the throw to Hunt, taking a shot deep down the field that Alex Smith probably wouldn't have taken that shot down the field to a running back last year, especially in that type of game, but he was playing with confidence. But because they took a few shots down the field, they didn't take tons of shots down the field. There are multiple times I'm like, oh God, Alex is checking down again. He still has that in the DNA. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But because they took a few shots deep down the field and they scored touchdowns on it, Chiefs fans are like, oh, the Chiefs, a wide open playbook, and my goodness gracious, they were super aggressive. I would agree they opened up the playbook. They had Travis Kelce playing quarterback for a play. They ran shovel plays to Kelce. They had Hill set up as a decoy. They had interesting formation near the goal line before half with throwing the ball to Anthony Thomas, which I didn't like the call, but whatever. They did open up the playbook, per se. They really wanted to win that game, and I think the Chiefs feel they're good enough to where it might come down to them and the Patriots having the same record. They wanted to have that tiebreaker, and that might come back to roost. End of the year, Chiefs and Patriots might be 12-4, and you'll look back on this game last night and go, that's the difference between the AFC title game being in Foxborough and being an Arrowhead. But the way the Chiefs roll in the playoffs, it might not matter where the game's played. The Chiefs will probably lose to New England, whether it's at Arrowhead or in New England. But we had said, we got to believe it. We'll believe it when we see it. Now you have to say, I think you have to say, and I'm finally got to say this, based on last night's performance, unless New England is going to be really bad this year and they're going to be 8-8, 9-7, not as good as they usually are, it was a statement game, and yes, today you can say the Chiefs are Super Bowl contenders. You can say that. How can you not say that when you go into New England and wax them in the fourth quarter? But you do not have Eric Berry probably for the rest of the season. That's a big blow. And if you have a couple other injuries, to that defense, especially Peters or Houston, or if Alex Smith goes down, or Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, it changes the whole, or Kareem Hunt, that changes the whole complexion of the season. And we know there's tons of injuries that happen throughout the regular season. But right now, enjoy it. You got 10 days to enjoy it.